All right, so here's what we're going to do now. We're going to do another series of exercises. And then after we do this series, we'll break into our small groups again. And we'll rotate the teachers one more time so that, and then we'll do some sharing in our small groups about the process of the exercises themselves. Before we do that, any questions so far just about this much? There's some very powerful sharing going on. Yeah, Michelle.
As we go forward, because I keep hearing more and more traits, and I'm like, oh, I do that. Oh, I do that, you know, or wherever we are in different classes. Is some of these, obviously, patterns are going to overlap in terms of how they manifest. But I guess what the thing is that the driving motivation or energy is what distinguishes where something's coming from?
Yes, that's a nice way to put it. The driving motivation and the expression of energy, the way we express our energy in relationship. And really remember that the thing that's most helpful I find about knowing these personality patterns is twofold. One, it helps us understand our own piece of developmental age that we need to go back and reclaim for our own whole healing. We need to grow that piece of us up that didn't get met. And that's one piece. And then the other piece that I find incredibly beneficial about this is it helps me know how to have more productive, interactive relationships professionally and personally. So for you all who are, you know, most of you who are practitioners or going to be practitioners or, you know, working in some form of professionalism with other people, it's incredibly invaluable in how to build trust and help them heal. But we start, of course, with our own healing. We have to. So any other questions on this? Yeah, Louisa.
Yes. Can these patterns develop when you're already older?
Yes. Any kind of trauma can, you could say, trigger a regressed response, right? So sometimes mental illness or emotional problems can happen as a result of any kind of adult difficulty or trauma also. And, you know, I mean, even when you think about, you know, when you have something overwhelming happen to you as an adult, whatever it is, it could be something that is just part of normal life, like moving across the country or something, or changing jobs or a relationship breakup or something. What do we want to do? We all react to that in some way. Some of us want to cocoon and curl up in a ball and hibernate. Others want to go, okay, let's go party. You know, I dumped that one. You know, let's just go out and have a good time. Or, you know, or whatever we do, you know, there can be a reaction. But most often it will still track back to some kind of lack that was patterned in developmentally in our neurological, you know, developmental stages growing up. This is why it was so heartbreaking, this whole thing that happened with these immigrant children who were separated from their parents. You know, just absolutely heartbreaking because they're in this crucial developmental stage. And so, you know, a little bit of what I've been reading, and I don't read it because it's too upsetting to me, really. So I try to stay away from reading too much about it. But these children become extremely clingy. They are terrified to leave the side of their parents, for example. It would be one behavior. That there are many kinds of behaviors that show up. But because they're in a developmental stage where they're learning how to individuate, where they're not fully resourced yet inside themselves, then it's that much more delicate and tender. And so even if we have really good parents, you know, no two parents are perfect parents, right? There's going to be gaps somewhere that we want to be able to go back and fill in for ourselves.
I just feel like I didn't experience what everybody else experienced growing up. Like, I can't remember ever an argument of my parents. I can't remember, but we were never with them that much.
We still have one personality pattern left for you, Louisa. Not to worry.
No, but the problem is that I do react aggressively.
Ah.
And I think when, like, this is an example that has really confused me between these patterns. Like, I would give my husband specific instructions of something to get done because I had to go to work early 2 days ago, and I saw myself in this pattern, and that's why I'm now confused. And I said, please have the workers put all the locks, each one in a Ziploc bag, because we can use it at the beach house. And so I come back and I said, well, where are the locks? Oh, I don't know. I left them a message in a piece of paper. And I said, well, show me the piece of paper. And the piece of paper says, leave the door pulls. I said, there's cabinet pulls. That's one thing. I wanted the locks. I specifically said Ziploc bags. And so then, I mean, I explode because I am upset that he is not. So then I said, okay, I'm rigid because I had given instructions, but now I'm aggressive because I'm really upset because now he says, well, maybe they're in the trash. I mean, and he thinks it's a big joke. And yeah. I mean, and here is like, immediately I could see like this little boy in this man. And I'm feeling like the parent that is, oh.
I'd say that qualifies you for this pattern. Yeah, because the underlying current of that is the controlling aspect to it, right? But there's also a lot of control in the rigid personality pattern as well. There's a little overlap there between those two patterns. So you're right. You have a little of both going on there. And the main thing is not to be too concerned about the labels, but just to notice, first of all, that's great awareness that you're noticing your reactivity. And the question becomes, how can you become a little bit more flexible around it, a little softer around it, a little bit more detached from it? And so that we're going to get to that in just a minute, to the way out of the pattern, right?
Oh, okay. So thank you. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Anybody else? Questions?
I think I have a clarifying question. Like, it made so much sense at the beginning of this call to reframe it as the controlling pattern, or to name it the controlling pattern. But then I started going, well, then what are the other patterns? And like, yeah.
Well, I think I really like the names of all these patterns, actually, more than most other names that I have heard coined, because I've heard several writers, I've seen several writers sort of come up with their own renaming of, you know, Alexander Lowen and I think Alexander Lowen was the first one, and not John Krakos, but I don't know if it was Carl Jung or not, but I think it was Alexander Lowen that first coined these terms, and he coined them based on more the physiology of the structure of our bodies, and he called them the schizoid, oral, masochist, psychopath, and rigid. And then there have been other people along the way. Everybody's hated those names, right? I hated them also. You know, they're also kind of confusing with psychology terms and things because they mean something very different than the psychology terminology of the DSM-4. So these terms that he came up with, I think, are just what he found to be more accurate descriptions of these patterns themselves. And I actually like them more than any others that I've heard coined, except this one I would want to kind of add that controlling
to it. So I guess, but aren't they all control? Like, aren't all of the patterns a way of controlling?
You're absolutely correct. Maybe I would say rather than controlling, they're a way to try to feel safe.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
This one uses control to feel safe.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, we ready to try something? Okay. So listen very carefully first to the instructions, and then I'm going to give you a go of when to start. Okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you in just a moment to stand up and jaw, and I want you to step away from the camera so you're not going to do this with anybody seeing you. So you're going to jog in place for 90 seconds as fast as you can. When you get to the halfway point at about 45 seconds, so if you can, time yourself on the clock, and that's fine stuff. And so time yourself on the clock or on your, you know, second hand on your timer, whatever you can do. When you get halfway at 45 seconds, I want you to go even faster. I want you to go as fast as you can. But then when you get halfway, I want you to go even faster than that for the last 45 seconds. And in those last 45 seconds, or while you're jogging, actually, while you're jogging, I want you to say loudly, I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. This is this personality pattern. I am the best. Okay, so that's what you're going to say while you're jogging as fast as you can. And this is going to be challenging for you, Steph, since you're out in a public place. And here comes an even better part. After you say, I'm the best for the first half, you're going to point your finger out and you're going to say, you're all idiots. You're all idiots. You're all idiots. Okay, that's what you're going to say. So everybody stand up and be where you can hear me. But you're going to be, you won't actually be paying. You got to time yourself. I'll go ahead and time you also. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds to get ready. Okay, ready? Set, and I'll tell you when we're halfway. And go, jogging in place and saying loudly, I'm the best. Really loud. I'm the best. Halfway, 45 seconds left. You're all idiots. Even faster, go even faster. You're all idiots. Five seconds left. And stop. Okay, come back where you can see me and hear me. Stay standing up. And I want you to bend your knees. Stay standing, stand nice and tall, but bend your knees a little bit. And breathe. And close your eyes and focus your attention inward on what you're feeling. Focus your attention inward on what you're feeling. And now I want you to think about a time in your life or a situation, an incident, or a person that really pissed you off. I want you to think about a situation, a time, okay, in your life that really pissed you off. So, Steph, everybody's standing up now, just with your knees bent, and close your eyes and think about a time in a situation that really pissed you off. Situation, an incident, a person that really pissed you off. And as you do, as you think about that situation and about the anger, I'd like you to see if you can ask yourself, what's beneath this anger? What's beneath this anger? What need, emotional need, did I really have of this person? What's the emotional need or longing I really had of this person? What did I really want from them? And as you breathe and invite that feeling in, invite the feeling of that emotional longing that you had of or from or with that person or situation. Let yourself feel it. See if you can allow yourself to really feel the longing, the need, the true emotional need that you had. The hurt, perhaps, the fear. If tears want to come, let them come. Let the feelings come. And now I'd like you to bring your arms up above your head in a V shape, up above your head. Keep your eyes closed, but feel that there is a connection spiritually to this need and longing that you had from this person. See if you can feel that there is a presence that is bigger and stronger than you, bigger and stronger than them, loving, powerful, and kind. And that it's pouring into you. It's filling up your arms. It's pouring in through your crown. And even if you can't feel it, just pretend that you can. And whisper quietly to yourself, I am not alone. You are with me. You, Spirit, God, Divine, Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Grandmother, whatever it is that you feel in that presence, you are with me. You have my soul, and I am safe. I am not alone. You are with me. You have my soul, and I am safe. And just let yourself feel that. If you want to relax your arms, you can, but bring that presence down into your heart with you as you bring your arms down. Feel that presence with you. You are not alone. I am safe. You are with me. You have my soul. And I am safe. And when you're ready, you can go ahead and have a seat. And then Lynn is going to put us into our small groups. And we'll take about, it's about 12:20. We'll take about 20 minutes, and we'll come together, and then we'll come back at 20 minutes till 1 as a big group. So we'll do some small group sharing now about this experience that we just had.
So remember, we're doing the beam me up, Scotty thing.
So we just have to click on join the meeting, right? Hi, we're coming back. Mary Lynn, did you not, were you not able to join into the group?
No, I got left.
Uh-oh, what happened? Did you not get the thing, the link to click on join?
I didn't get the join. I just saw one from Kimberly just now, but yeah. But I'm supposed to be seeing it. But I don't know what happened.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
But we've got you now.
I'm here.
Do you want to check in for real quick while we're waiting for everybody to rejoin?
I was not feeling good at all. So when you said jog for 40, 90, whatever it was, it sounded like I really don't want to do that. I did a little bit of it. I thought about a session where I got a situation where I got really angry and with my mother. And so I wasn't really able to get into it very deeply. Anyway, so I don't have a lot to report.
Okay.
Because I feel I have a headache and I feel achy and I didn't want to jog.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I thank you for sharing that where you are right now. And you know, I like that you're taking care of yourself and regulating, you know, adapting to what fits for you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good. And I'm glad we got this little few moments to check in. So.
Yeah.
Good. All right, so everybody else should be reconnecting in just a moment. Mary Lynn, can you go back on mute? I think, and Jill, I think we're getting some buzzing. Okay, we are all returning.
Woo!
Yay!
Jeanette, can you
hear
me? It's Mary Lynn. I'm sorry I missed you. I just got somehow left behind in the big room, so I didn't get to join you. But I'm okay. Just thought I'd report.
I think you were probably, were you supposed to be in my group this time or with me? Or who's in your small group typically? Are you in with Janet and Steph? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you would have been with me that time. Chris, did you get my text that I sent you earlier? Today?
I don't know. What about?
I sent you a text.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I'll take you back.
Okay. All right, so looks like we're running a little bit behind, but with the other folks joining us, rejoining us.
Here they go.
Okay, here we are.
Oh, we're back.
All right.
We've got abandoned.
You got abandoned? Oh, no.
We're here now.
Oh, good. Did we lose anybody else? I know we lost Mary Lynn, too. Were you not in one of the small groups, Deborah?
We were in Jeanette's group, but what happened is I think she forgot to tell us to leave now or something. Something happened. Oh. I don't know what happened. We got it, though. Yeah. We got it. We're here.
Okay.
We're here.
I saw a note come to me that Mary Lynn needed to be added. Yeah. So I added her in. I don't know what happened, but hopefully okay. I got her in.
Okay. Well, we're all back now. So, all right. So I want to just go through some of the resolution and then we'll open it up for some more sharing and Q&A. So the gifts we talked about already quite a bit, the truth, fearlessness, leadership, strength, the ability to be in your core and energized. So what this little exercise that we just did, right, was some of that sense of power that in all the best of ways. I need to rescue my inner child. This is the task, right? So this is the strength, the power, the inner child that's in there. We need to call her out and give her that safety. So that's the work that we're doing. To feel my vulnerability. So even though we're in this adult body, right, we have this really scared little place that we've just got to let ourselves connect to within ourselves and then find safe people that we can begin to trust to let them see it with us and not be alone. Super important that we do not let ourselves be alone in feeling our vulnerability. We need other people to help us safely enter into it and to take, and this is going to feel really, really scary for the person who has this pattern very strongly. They will do everything they can to avoid feeling that vulnerability. They will feel like it's death to ask them to go there. Especially because there's so much judgment around vulnerable feelings as being equated with weakness. Because remember, they were punished they experienced punishment or abandonment for any kind of vulnerable feeling. They also have to learn how to contain their anger, how to create their own experience of that powerful life force to bring it down into their core, into their center, rather than exploding it out at anybody for their own discharge convenience. And then to learn how to kindly make a direct request of my emotional needs. And that's going to also feel very, very vulnerable to do that. Okay, so this is the healing of it. And then connect to something bigger than you. Whether that's a spirit, universe, you know, a person that you could create a trusting relationship with, a saint, a guide, you know, just connect to something bigger than you. Okay, so questions, comments, shares. How was that? How are we doing? Oh, I wanted to make one last point about the that also I think Jan had brought up earlier on in the check-in about these people who end up in jail. You know, I always find it so interesting that the aggressive type of this controlling pattern, you know, the ultimate, the request is a screaming for boundaries. I need a boundary. So finally, when they get into jail, they've got the boundary. You don't get to rip people off. You don't get to steal. You don't get to murder. You don't get to cheat. You don't get to money launder. You don't get to do those things. Here's your boundary. Finally, somebody's giving me the boundary I didn't get when I was 5 years old. Thank you. Yay. It's serving its much needed purpose. So I just wanted to make that point as an example that's really for that. So, okay, questions, comments, thoughts? Any big epiphanies happen for anybody during that exercise?
I had an interesting discovery. And should I share what I shared in that or?
Sure.
You know, I was just saying in our small group that when I was a kid, I never wanted to be home. I always wanted to be out. So, you know, I would, ask my mom if I could go to a friend's house and she'd say no. And I would freak out because I had to leave the house. Like, I couldn't stand being in there. And so when, you know, the second part of it was to, you know, what is underneath that anger? That was actually the only way that I was allowed to express anger, is at those times when it's the only really time that I remember expressing anger was when I couldn't go out or something. But what was under it was a really strong need for connection. Mm-hmm. And in our household, you know, we have 6 kids and 2 parents. Absolutely no connection to anyone, mm-hmm. which is weird. We never talked to each other. My mother never really talked to me. So what I really needed was connection. So, you know, just going out and connecting with friends or their parents or something was a really important thing. But what I realized, even after we were finished that exercise and as you were talking, was that there was a really deep frustration of no interaction, like no guidance, no, you know, encouragement for anything in life. And it's similar to that, the frustration I felt then is similar to a frustration that I have now that I feel quite often. It's just that frustration, and I'm still working it through, but it was something that I really saw today. So it was really, really helpful.
That's great. Thank you for sharing all of that. And I, you know, it's so interesting. It's like the tone is set at the top, right? So if the parents aren't talking and connecting, the kids are going to learn that we don't do that, or we don't get to do that, or it's not okay to do that, or it's not safe, whatever, you know, it's not safe to do that, whatever that might be. And that longing and that need for connection, yes, is something that is the deep longing underneath this wound, right? Is the need to feel connection, the need to feel safe to be my authentic, vulnerable self. So thank you for sharing that, Chris. That was a great example. Anybody else? How was it to be able to jump around and say you're an idiot and say I'm the best? And anybody actually allow themselves to actually feel like the best from doing that? And the power of that and the, yeah. What would that be like to really feel like the best? To have the right to claim that for yourself?
So I could say something, Laura.
Yeah.
So I have been a practitioner of a technique called BEST, and it stands for Bioenergetic Synchronization Technique. So this is a statement we have said a lot with the group of practitioners. I am the best. The interesting thing is, and you know, I shared this a little bit with you in the other class or the other breakout, is that I sometimes have a hard time connecting with that. And when I was doing the exercise, I was almost trying to talk myself into it. Of course, you know this. So sometimes I didn't connect with it, and then I really didn't like telling everybody they were idiots. So I was not comfortable with that at all. So anyway, that was just kind of my experience.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it takes some practice and some real, you know, you could say okayness to be able to fully claim the power of being the best. Right. Or right. Of being, you know, any good at anything. Right. And this is what this child, you know, this is the gift of this wound. Right. Is that can you put yourself back on mute? Because I'm getting some echo. Thank you. That this was the gift of that wound. Right. That stage in that stage developmentally, when I was forced to survive on my own cognizance, on my own you know, willpower, then I know I had to do it. I had to do it on my own, by myself, if I'm going to survive at all. And for those of us who have the opposite of that, who had to sort of hide themselves for survival, it could be a real stretch to embody, as you were talking about, to really feel that in my body, that I actually have a right to embody that, the vitality of that kind of level of life force. Yeah. It's a nice distinction to make. So we've got about 5 minutes left. I'd love to have everybody to have a chance to kind of do a quick checkout from our check-in for today. So Jill, thank you for sharing that. Is there, Janet, can we go to you? Anything you want to just sort of do a checkout with for us?
I learned so much from this aggressive personality. And when we did the little exercise, of course, I didn't holler out loud. It was kind of in my head. And I love saying you're an idiot. I was. I know I'm good.
You're an idiot. Who else loves
But I've never been able to say that to someone. You're an idiot. That was cool. Loved it. Great release.
That's great. Thanks, Janet. Steph, parting words.
Yeah, I just learned a lot from everybody else's shares today. And I want to say thank you.
Thank you. Great. Mary Lynn.
I am taking a second look at the aggressive pattern, particularly renamed as controlling, as a bigger part of my life than I have formally considered.
Great. Thank you. Good. Yeah. Boy, it's really interesting how powerful even the silent controller can be. Oh boy, can they do a lot of damage. The silent brooder who sits in the back of the room and can sabotage an entire group with their energy. So yeah, I'm not saying that's you, Mary Lynn, but just made me think of that. So I wanted to just bring that point out.
Well,
Chris.
I used the silent treatment from my father for probably 20 years. I refused to talk to him.
Wow, very, it can be very punishing, yes.
Yeah.
Chris, anything more you wanted to close out with?
Just keeps getting more interesting.
Thank you. Jeanette.
I'm not alone.
Beautiful. That's right. Deborah.
I feel a sense of inclusiveness.
Great. Anne.
I'm feeling compassion, especially for my partner. I'm seeing how we interact with each other, and it's like, wow, this pattern.
Good, 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 good awareness. Good for you. Jan.
Same thing. It's very enlightening, and it gives me compassion as well for that.
Great. Jill, did you have a parting word that you wanted to share?
Again, I just am so grateful for all of you and for the warmth I'm feeling right now from all of
you. Yay! Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
Janine.
I'm making some connections, I think. I shared with the group that I felt like when I shouted out, I'm the best. I was kind of having a temper tantrum a little bit. That's what it felt like to me. And I think, you know, the connection there is that I wasn't able to express my my frustrations and anger, my tears at home. And it was this response from my dad, you know, if you want something to cry about, I'll give you something to cry about kind of attitude, you know, and maybe that's why it felt like a temper tantrum to me, because I was able to express that, I guess. So.
Great. I'm glad you had that opportunity. Thanks for sharing that with us. Michelle.
Yeah, it was enlightening to see some of the behaviors. As we learn more, and discover what's going. I still want to strive for being able to incorporate the gift of running energy positively from above and below.
Beautiful. I love that. Incorporating the energy above and below. Great. Lynn. Linda Buer.
It's like, which one? So you had said something in the very beginning that, you know, we're going to go back and complete the stages. And that's how I feel with this particular one, is that I'm going back and filling in some holes. And I have some curiosity along with my awareness of it and just invite it. I did not like saying you're an idiot, but I was laughing while I said you're the best.
Interesting, huh? Okay, good. Good to bring that objective observer on both of those. Valerie.
A lot of things have come up today that I feel curiosity about and I plan to explore further.
Great. Good. Thanks. Other Lynn.
Very enlightened. I'm anxious to integrate my multiple personalities.
Me too.
Going up. So.
Thank you, Lynn. Tony.
So I've always felt a little compassion for people in this pattern, but now with the understanding and the awareness, with that compassion, I can now connect better and communicate better instead of, you know, calling, because that's kind of what I do, because they're scary folks. No offense.
Yeah.
So big for me, you know.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, their energy is really big. And, you know, the great thing is that when we can be unafraid of their power, they're so relieved, you know. They're so relieved because they can get met. And to see the little kid inside that big, powerful personality is so relieving for that person. And so nice for all of us. So it's so important for us as practitioners, because you're going to have those big people, you know, from time to time in your practice. So no wimpy handshakes for them. Thanks, Tony. Louisa.
To me, it's enlightening and awareness that I have a lot of this pattern that I had not realized. And I feel like it's awareness also with the person that I had a bad conflict, which was my sister. It was because she is big time aggressive and I react. So that's bad formula. Two aggressive people.
Yes. And,
So I got some thinking, some things to try to come to understand. To turn.
Great. Thank you, Louisa. And I don't know if that's Dorothy or Thea on the phone there. Dorothy or Thea? Yeah.
I feel a sense of peace that when I look back at these experiences, number one, that I stood my ground the best way I could at that time. And today, and when I had to make decisions to leave because they were unhealthy situations, that was the right decision and that I can make that decision. And I can make it constructively today without running away. I can still stand my ground, not run, match energy in a constructive manner. And it makes me feel very peaceful.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Really gutsy, too. So thank you all again. It's been another wonderful time for me to be with all of you. Really rich and so poignant, all your sharing. So thank you for that. And I look forward to seeing you guys next week. We'll have another integration session. And please ask, you know, connect with me if you have any questions about, remember, Module 6 is coming up, September 19th to the 23rd. So the web page is live. You can go ahead and register if you aren't registered for it. Just go to transpersonalenergycounseling.com. And I would really, it's probably the only time you're going to have the opportunity to be in a group this intimately small, because the next time it comes around again, we're going to be a lot bigger. And so I'm actually really looking forward to that chance to be with all of you in that course. So email me if you have any questions, and please go ahead and do get registered soon for the course. Okay. And get your reservations made with the Ancient Yoga Center as well, if you're already registered through a bundle. Okay, take care, everybody. Have a good rest of your weekend, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Some of you, anyway. Bye.
Thank
you. Bye. Bye, everyone. Thanks, Laura.
Bye. Thank you. Mm-hmm.